Tick-tock. Yes, you are seconds away from tuning into one of the fastest-growing parapolitical podcasts out in podcast land. Yes, you are now listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. This week's show, I'm not even going to tell you what's on this week's show until I'm done and I write it in the notes, because last week's show I had this great plan and it didn't really work out, so we may go over that, but it may change. I don't even know. I'm debating, and I still don't know, as I'm recording this show, if I'm going to talk a little politics. I know I'm scared. But before we get into that, last week I had a listener encounter, which was the comment of the week, from a man named Jared in Alabama. And he was telling us of a human-shaped being that was standing over him while he was sleeping, that had the appearance of like TV snow, and he heard knocks, and then when he turned around, it did a definitive 180 and went away. And I gave you my thoughts on it, and I asked my listeners, and Jared, I hope you're listening to this show, because this is what happens when you contact me and I give a call out to my listeners. My listeners came through. I asked my listeners, what do you think it is? What do you think Jared experienced that night? There's a lot of paranormal enthusiasts and a lot of paranormal investigators. I can't tell you how many emails started off, "I'm a paranormal investigator." Jared, you're not alone. Let me tell you that. There are so many people that have witnessed almost identically the same spirit, being, creature, whatever you want to call it. So many people said, "I've seen that." That doesn't tell me what it is yet, does it, Jared? Well, my listeners came through. And to all my listeners that sent me emails, and all of you are comments of the week, I'm sorry I can't give everybody's name, but there was a ton of you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all these comments and just kind of conglomerate them into one comment and tell Jared what the listeners of the Paranormal Patriot think he experienced and what they know of what he experienced. Now, first off, Jared, it was almost unanimous, almost a consensus. You talked about knocking noises when your eyes were closed. Almost everybody said that's not good. I mentioned it in the show, and a lot of other people said, "Tom, you were right, that's the death knock. Somebody close to you will be dying soon." Now, to be honest, I don't know whether or not anybody close to Jared died close or shortly after that. I don't have the answer to that. Jared, if you're listening, let me know. But everybody said that's not a good thing. So the fact, Jared, that you were listening to that and you were seeing that, and you, whenever you open your eyes, it'd stop. A lot of people said that is exactly things that I have witnessed. A lot of people who are not paranormal investigators, they said they would be in their bed or in a dark room for some reason, and they've witnessed this exact apparition. A lot of people said, "Jared hit it on the head. I never put two and two together, but it was like TV snow." Now, for you younger audience, you don't know what TV snow is, but that's when you don't have a channel, and it just almost looks like a big snowstorm on your television. Other people describe this apparition as sparkly, One guy, I love this definition, said it almost looked like this apparition came back from a rave and he was covered in glitter. Maybe he did. I don't know. That's a cool ghost, though. But anyway, it's almost an identical situation, and that's where my paranormal investigators chimed in and said, Tom, I think you're exactly right. I think what Jared was seeing wasn't really snow, but what it was energy being drawn to manifest. That spirit was trying to manifest itself, and what Jared was seeing was the energy that it needed, and it was taking the shape of the spirit entity. Every paranormal investigator that commented said that the fact that he was hearing knocking during this encounter concerned them very deeply. There were a few that said, Tom, I think the spirit was trying to get his attention. But nobody could account for why, once the spirit saw Jared's foot move, that it turned away. If it was trying to get his attention, why would it turn away? Nobody could account for that. Nobody understands what was going on. Jared, the listeners of the Paranormal Patriot think, and they believe, that you were watching the manifestation of an entity. It was drawing energy from the surrounding air. And keep in mind, listeners of the Paranormal Patriot and my paranormal investigators know this, and they know it well, but all around us is energy. These spirits draw in energy to manifest. And every single one, even my non-investigators, said, yeah, that sounds like what would happen. My investigators were saying he was seeing the manifestation. Now, maybe, just maybe, and this, I've done a lot of thinking on this, Jared, since last week's show. This is just a random thought in my head. I don't know if this is true or not. But you may have been seeing a spirit manifest, and this spirit may not have wanted anything to do with you. You just happened to be there as it was manifesting. The knocking, I don't know if it has anything to do with the manifestation. I don't know if you were hearing just an odd noise otherwise, or maybe you were hearing noises in your head. I don't know. The more I think about this, and the more this is what makes sense to me, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or some people would say the right place at the right time. You were witnessing a spirit manifest itself. When that spirit saw you, maybe it didn't see you, maybe it didn't realize you were there, I don't know. Again, I'm not part of the spirit world. I've never been a spirit, thankfully. But maybe it didn't know you were there as it was manifesting, and then it saw you move, and boom, it's gone. Therefore, no more energy being drawn to it. See what happens when you get a hold of the Paranormal Patriot with your encounters. You have a huge array of opinions, of investigators that you can get answers to, no charge. Me, I love this. I love trying to figure out what's going on with my listeners' encounters. I love it. And the best part about it is I have you, my listeners, that I can draw from. Because honestly, you guys, investigators and non-investigators, are an invaluable source of information that I can draw on. If you have had an encounter, please get a hold of me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. It can be a spirit encounter. It can be a cryptid encounter. It can be an alien UFO encounter. Anything. If you have a conspiracy, I have so many conspiracy-minded people that listen to this show. You've got a vast knowledge of resource here. You use it. Just use it. Get a hold of me. Let me know. I love when I have listener encounters, because that way I know I can be even more interactive with my listeners. So, Jared, I hope that helps you out. Everybody that commented and gave me what they think is going on, thank you so much. Keep it up. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to talk about, because I don't even know right now. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Listen to The Moose, We Got Love, as we go to break. I'll be right back. Every day, we told each other to be friends forever. You know, over all the years I've done this podcast, I've made many enemies, but I've also made great friends. One of the greatest friends I've made is Jay Miles. He is the host of Vanishing Gates Podcast. If you have not checked it out, do yourself a favor and check out Vanishing Gates. They talk about the unexplained. They talk about crime. They talk about cigars. How cool is that? I love myself a good cigar. Vanishing Gates Podcast. Go to their website, vanishinggates.com. Go to their Facebook page, Vanishing Gates. When you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you, and he told me how cool you were.
Hey, everybody. This is Tom Velasquez, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Caught some feelings, yeah, I'm into you. Oh my God, now what am I gonna do? Sexy, be my baby, be my lover, drive me crazy. Pause, switch focus. I'm in love, but I won't let you know this. Let go of it and do my thing. And I know you'll come back like a boomerang. Boomerang, boomerang. I let go of it, do my thing. And I know you'll come back like a boomerang. Like a boomerang, bang, like a boomerang. Like a boomerang, bang, like a boomerang. Let go of it, do my thing. And I know you'll come back to me like a boomerang.
Ooh, I was almost going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of you are going to be disappointed, but I almost was going to talk politics on this show. This whistleblower thing is driving me insane. All I'm going to say about the politics in this country right now is both sides I'm infuriated with. Stop your bickering. Stop your gridlock. And let's do something to better the country. Democrats, stop trying to impeach Trump. He's making you look like asses. Republicans, stop falling into the trap. Just do something that your constituents wanted you to do. That's all I'm going to say about politics. Some of you are happy, some of you are sad, but that's I can't do it. Truth be told, I recorded a whole segment. I deleted it all because I got so stressed out talking about politics because nothing is getting done. These politicians do not have an inkling of a thought about us. It's all about them and their party and their control of power. They don't care about us. Now, come election time, they'll come out and pander to us and we'll be like, okay, yeah, so let's go. And then it'll be business as usual in Washington. I'm tired of it. That is why I don't want to talk politics, because I'm so absolutely tired of the BS coming out of it. I just don't know what to do anymore. I can't control it, so why even bother? My mother, who I talk to every week, every time I talk to her, she talks about politics, and it oh my gosh, I talk to her because I love her to death, and I give her my 2 cents, but I get stressed out every time I talk about it. It is at that point, and I have a feeling that the majority of Americans around the country are at that point where they just don't care anymore. You have one side, the Democrats and the followers of the Democratic Party, that are hell-bent on getting Trump out of there. And then you have the Republicans and their followers that are hell-bent on doing anything they can do to keep Trump in office. I don't want socialism in this country. Listen, I don't. You know where my political affiliations lie. I don't want socialism. But I am so burned out on politics. I don't want to say I don't care, because I absolutely do. I'm very involved in politics. Even though I don't talk politics on the show, I still follow it very religiously. But something's got to give. We have got to stand up and change things, because this is both parties, Republican and Democrat, is just a power click right now. We have no place in their game. They are just there to retain or gain power. And it's infuriating and nauseating to watch. And I can't do it. I wanted to talk politics on the show, but I sit there and I just can't do it. I get so stressed out. I can feel my body tensing up. I deleted the whole segment. I'm sorry to all my political followers of the show, but man, it's infuriating. Maybe, just maybe, I will develop a time machine that I can go back and see how politics, when it was civil, as civil as it can politics ever be civil? But when it was civil enough that we knew that these people may have actually had our better intentions in mind rather than their own. Now, with that being said, even before Einstein theorized that time is relative and flexible, humans had already been imagining the possibility of time travel. If you think about it, science fiction is loaded in pretty much all about time travel. Now, in some time travel science fiction novels, some people use superhuman capabilities, but most science fiction novels and the way we think of time travel is it's a device made by man. But now two physicists think that it's time to bring the time machine into the real world. According to Ben Tippett, a theoretical physicist and mathematician from the University of British Columbia, he said people think of time travel as something is fiction, and we tend to think that it's not possible because we don't actually do it. He says, but mathematically, it is possible. Now, David Tsang, who's a Tippett and University of Maryland astrophysicist, he developed with Tippett a mathematical formula that uses Einstein's general relativity theory to prove that time travel is possible in theory. Now, Tippett explained, my model of a time machine uses the curved space-time to bend time into a circle for the passengers. It's not in a straight line. That circle takes us back in time. Both Tippett and Tsang said, it is a box which travels forward and then backwards in time along a circular path through space-time. Now, unfortunately, it's still not possible to construct such a time machine in theory, but Tippett explained, while it is mathematically feasible, it is not yet possible to build a space-time machine because we need materials, which we call exotic matter, to bend space-time in these impossible ways, but they have yet to be discovered. So, all right, I'm done with the article. I hate reading from articles because I can't convey my true emotions. So, if we need exotic materials, but we don't know we haven't discovered them yet, how do we know we need them? I am a big proponent that we can go back in time. Now, going into the future, I'm a little bit more skeptical because is the future been decided yet? I don't understand how the future has been decided yet. We don't know what the future has. Is there another timeline that is going beyond ours, that the future inhabitants of Earth can come back to visit us? Now, there's a lot of time travel stories out there that say that that is possible, but if that's possible, can we visit those future times, or are we restricted to only going back in time? Time is a man-made construct in a way. We think of time as a face on a watch, a face on a clock, the way the sun moves, the days on a calendar, the years on a calendar. That is our interpretation of time. We, as a species, as a human race, are dictated by time. We are dictated, look, we have to be at work at a certain time, we get to go home at a certain time, the game's on at a certain time, we go to bed at a certain time. But is there really such a thing as 8 o'clock in the evening? No. There isn't. But we interpret that. That's how we, as humans, we needed something to determine this time. Remember 1944? We needed something to determine that time. And that's not a bad thing. You know, if somebody said D-Day, how many years ago was that? Well, if we didn't have years, we wouldn't know, we wouldn't care. We would just say, remember D-Day? Yes, I remember it. We wouldn't say, yes, this is the anniversary of D-Day, that was such and such years ago. I don't have the mathematical equations in my head. I can't think that fast to think how many years ago it was. Somebody help me out. But time doesn't exist in the way we know it as. Does time exist? Yes. I am alive during this quote-unquote time of the universe. The universe in this planet existed before man came on this planet, before man was superior on this planet and developed time, developed calendars. And yet, it still went on. It still grew. It still, for lack of a better term, evolved in a way, although I don't believe in evolution. But there's no such thing as time as we look at it. I don't know how to reiterate that point any stronger, but we look at time as looking at our watch as 12:54. It's not 12:54. It is we are at a certain spot as we're rotating through the universe at that time. That's how the universe sees us. Is it possible to create a machine that goes faster than the speed of light? Now, anybody that's seen the movie Interstellar, it's a great movie, but I will never forget, and this is for some reason burned into my brain, and I know it has time-related concepts, but they went to a planet that was so close to a black hole that 1 hour on that planet was 7 years on Earth. Because time was stretched. The closer you got to that black hole, the faster time got. That is a theory. That I believe is Einstein's general relativity theory. So is it possible if we move faster than the speed of light, we can go back in time? We can slow down, stop time, and when we go faster than the speed of light, we now go back in time. Is that possible? I think it is, because we look at it as, well, you can't go back in time. You can't go back to the year 2033. But in the past, everything has happened already. So why can't we go back and witness that past? Now, we've all heard of the butterfly effect. You step on a butterfly in the prehistoric times, you alter the way things go in the future. I don't know if I believe that so much. But let's look at some of the crazy things that have been found in what human, in their knowledge, has said is prehistoric times. We found batteries, essentially a battery spark plug, that is over 6,000 years old. We have found hammers, axes, pickaxes, that are over 7,000 years old, 10,000 years old. We are finding things that we can't explain. Now, is it because of time travelers, or is it because we had an advanced civilization on Earth at that time? That, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'd love to, and the only way I can do it is to develop a time machine. I'm going to give you a little bit of secrets on my life. I have been a lifelong nerd. Ever since I understood the concept of moving back in time, I have always wanted to develop a time machine. When I was younger, I would make sketches of how I think it would work. At this point, I honestly think it has to do with the speed of light and somehow counteracting the magnetism of the planet. If you can develop something that is spinning at the speed of light and counteract the magnetism of this planet, you can develop something that will transverse time. Because honestly, I'm a big proponent of parallel universes, alternate dimensions. I think a lot of the paranormal UFO alien sightings that we have and encounters that we have are beings and cryptids that are coming through from a parallel universe. That's why we can't find them, because they're here and then they vanish back into the universe. They have somehow either developed or they have a portal that goes into our universe. I'm a huge believer in that. I'm a huge believer that there is so much more than we see. I don't know the exact science on it. I'm not a scientist. I'm a guy that grew up in Michigan, and I was going to get a baseball scholarship to play college and go on to the major league, so I didn't need to learn all of this crap. Well, then I blew my arm out, and I didn't have any choice. So I dug into books. I dug into the ulterior thinking, the fringe, if you will. I'm a big proponent of parallel universes, alternate dimensions. The trumpets in the sky, I believe, may be coming from another dimension. CERN, I believe, is tapping into an alternate dimension. Why can't we tap into that? In that alternate dimension, we may have, there's rumors, there's stories out there that we have another version of us in an alternate dimension. And think about that. Think about another you in a parallel dimension that's a dimension that's coinciding alongside of us, but there's like a veil. We can't see that dimension. What do you think that other you is like? Look at yourself now. You know, I'm not going to say I'm rich. I'm definitely not poor anymore. But I'm definitely not rich. I'm middle class, and I still live paycheck to paycheck. And I love my wife. I got dealt a bad hand. She got dealt a bad hand with her cancer diagnosis. But I have four kids that I absolutely adore. Would I change it? Think to yourself. If you had an alternate you somewhere, would you change your life here? Let's say that alternate you was rich, and it was that you was a star. Everybody knew who you were in an alternate universe. Would you change your life here in this universe to go to that life? Or would you say, no, I'm happy, I'm content in this life? You know, I look at my life, and I look at, here I am doing a podcast for 7 years. I'm making music, trying to make it in the music business. What if there's another me that has made it in the music business? He's tall, he's thin, he's great looking, and would I want to change places with that guy? Knowing that if I change places with that guy, I've got the world in that universe by the horns. I can buy anything I want. I can do anything I want because I'm famous. But to do that, I lose my wife, the love of my life. I lose my kids, who I can't see living without. I lose my family. Could you do it? Think about that. Wouldn't that be a great premise for a movie? Would you do it? Looking at it right now, I don't think I could. I know I couldn't. You know, do I have the best life? No. But I'm sure the me in the alternate universe is looking at this going, do I have the best life? No. I could have more money. I could be married. I want kids. Maybe the me in the alternate universe is a baseball star or a music star, and he's going around and sleeping with other women left and right, doesn't have a meaningful relationship, and he wants kids, and he can't have kids because he doesn't have a woman to settle down with, and maybe he's empty inside because of that. So where I'm thinking, I want to be a star, I want to make a ton of money, I want to be famous, the alternate me in another universe who's rich and famous is thinking, I don't need this money. I just want to be with someone I love and have kids. Maybe even though I complain and even though I'm constantly worried about where I'm going to pay the next bill and how I'm going to pay the next bill and, more importantly, what's going to happen with my wife, maybe I've got the best of both lives. Maybe I've got a wife who loves me. I've got kids who adore me. And I'm famous in their eyes, where the other me doesn't have that wife and kids, and he's missing out on the joy of being a husband and being a father, or being a wife and being a mother. That sounds kind of deep right now. But let's look at it. I mean, if you believe in parallel universes, then you have to believe there's another you out there. There's another you that's gone a different path. He could be, you know, and let's say he's a criminal. And he's a dirtbag. And you're the best you, the best version of you that's out there. Kudos to you. I may be the best version of me that has ever existed. There may be four or five parallel universes that coincide with our universe right now. In every single one of me and the other universes are dirtbags. They're thugs, they're criminals, they're felons, they're rapists, they're pedophiles, whatever you want to call them. I could be the best version of me, and everybody else, you know, there might be another me in another universe sitting in a jail cell going, man, if there's another me, I wish I was him. And I'm sitting here complaining, but I could be the best version of me. And maybe that's what we all need to do in this universe, is be the best version of you that there is. Sounds like a Saturday morning public service announcement, but it is. It's true. If you believe in parallel universes, and there's proof, and there's more proof coming out every day that these things do exist, maybe we need to strive to be the best us we can be. And maybe that is not being a jerk, not being the divisive person that we are, not being the complainer that we are. Maybe it's being the one that helps the homeless person on the street, that just goes to the homeless shelter or goes to the community center and helps out a young child and gives them advice and gives them support. Or maybe it's just being there for your friends or being there for your family or being there for you. In this day and age, in this universe that we live in, the universe that's listening to the Paranormal Patriot right now, we do not give ourselves enough time to care for ourselves, because everything is go, go, go. You got to get up, you got to go to your job, you got family obligations, you got to make sure your bills are paid, you might get a little bit of sleep, and get up and do the same thing again. And when the weekend comes, lo and behold, you got housework to do, yard work to do, you bust your behind over the weekends just so you can start over again and do your other job during the week. Is that what we were meant to do? Is that what the Creator wanted our lives to be? I highly doubt that. But honestly, to my parapatriots out there, think about this. And I know I've gone way on the metaphysical side. I know I've gone way off the deep end on this, but I want you to think about that. Because even if you don't believe in parallel universes, this is an exercise that looks deep inside of you. So I want every one of my listeners, believer or not believer, to think in this instant that there is a parallel universe or multiple parallel universes, that there may be a different us out there. It may be a different you out there that is more successful, more handsome, has a better life. And think about this. Would you trade the life you have now to swap with the you in a parallel universe? But if you swap out that life here to go to that life in the parallel universe, you lose your wife, you lose your husband, you lose your kids, you lose your family. You lose everything that you have and love in this life and go to another universe where you're wealthy, beautiful, handsome, well-known, and well-respected. Would you change lives? Because there's a very distinct possibility that there's another us out there. Would you do it if you had the opportunity? Time travel may not be moving back in time. It may not be moving forward in time. Time travel may be moving to another dimension. Would you? And I want to hear your answers on this. I can't wait to hear your answers on this. Would you change your life in this universe if you knew the universe you could swap out with is rich, beautiful, or handsome? Well-known, well-respected. You can have anything you want in that universe, but you have to give up everything in this universe. Would you do it? I am so curious to hear your answers. Contact me at ghostseeker4 at charter.net. Again, Ghost Seeker 4 at charter.net. Send me your answers. I am so curious to hear your response to this. And again, one more time. Parallel universes exist. And even if you don't believe it, I'm curious to hear your response to this. Everybody listening now believes parallel universes now exist. And there is another us in one of these parallel universes that is either extremely beautiful, extremely handsome, extremely well-known, extremely wealthy, extremely respected. Would you move to that universe and swap out with the you in that universe, and that you comes to this universe, if it means giving up your life here, which means your wife, your husband, your kids, your friends, your family? Would you give it up? I'm so curious to hear your answers. Contact me at ghostseeker4 at charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4 at charter.net. All right, we are going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'll tell you what I'm going to do next segment. We're going to talk listener encounters. I've got a couple encounters I want to go over with you that I've had sitting on the back burner. I want to go over them with you because I want your opinions on what is going on. Last week, I have been inundated with people who say they're paranormal investigators because of Jared in Alabama's encounter. This is where you shine. I'm going to give you some paranormal encounters. Let me know what you think. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
Tiptoe as I walk the line. You make moves while I'm making mine. But I'm already too behind. Let's stop the tape and hit rewind. Sit back and I contemplate a new way to negotiate.
From the days of French settlers and the ghouls who tormented them, to the grim realities of early factories and their gruesome death tolls, Detroit is a town with a devilishly scary past. Its citizens have long straddled the line between good and evil, and more than a few rules have been broken over the years. As Halloween approaches, we can all spare a nervous glance towards Detroit's darker side. It's never wise to travel alone through these corridors of history, so there are some that are willing to offer themselves as your guides on a macabre journey through the Motor City's darkest historical moments. From mobsters, ghosts, cemeteries, murders, pranks, devil's nights, assassinations, hauntings, unexplained disappearances, tricks and treats await you on the all-new Haunted Detroit, the Dark Side of History Tour. Join me Saturday, October 19th from 12 to 5 as we peruse the city of Detroit and learn of its haunted history. The Haunted History Tour of Detroit is your guide for all things macabre, for all things strange, for all things haunted, in all things historical, in one of the world's most renowned cities, Detroit, Michigan. Again, join me Saturday, October 19th from 12 to 5 as we learn of the ghosts and the hauntings and all of the historical happenings in one of the most revered cities this world has ever known. And when you arrive, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
When you walk outside, take a look to the sky. You see those bright, shiny lights? You see them, but do you
really know why. The things we do almost every single night. See a million points of light, what an awesome sight. But we take them for granted, cause they've always been there. Do you understand the meaning? Do you even care? The lights in the sky, well, they just didn't happen. It's time you learned a thing or two, you better strap in. Galaxies, suns, planets, and clusters. They can't be reached with today's thrusters. The universe, it is calling to you. An awakening is happening in full view. You better open up your mind and look to the heavens. Your ascension to the next plane will soon beckon. The constellations, well, they tell a story. Our ancestors gazed upon them in their glory.
All right, we're going to end the show with a couple encounters. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I am absolutely infatuated with black-eyed kids. I've never seen one. I hope I never see one. But I've had a lot of listeners say that they have seen a black-eyed kid and they've encountered black-eyed kids. And I believe they exist. And for some reason, they seem to exist in state parks and national parks. I don't know if people are more at ease in those situations or what, but they seem to perpetuate in state and in national parks. So over the years, I've done a lot of research and a lot of looking into not only black-eyed kids, but there seems to be a prevalence now over the years of black-eyed adults. Were these once black-eyed kids that have now grown into adults? I don't know, but not only are people seeing black-eyed kids, but they're seeing older, middle-aged, you know, younger people that have completely black eyes. So during my research and investigation, I came across three encounters that I wanted to go over with you. I just randomly picked these. It's not like they're the best, but these are three genuine, which I think are black-eyed kids encounters. I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of studying. I've had a lot of my listeners tell me about black-eyed kids encounters and black-eyed people encounters, and these kind of follow the same general guidelines. So the first one I came across, it came across as my friend and I were walking around my neighborhood at night because we were really bored. We passed the park that's in my neighborhood, and we heard singing. So we looked over at the park and saw a little girl alone on a swing. She had long brown hair, a pink polka dot dress, and a red bow in her hair. We couldn't see her super well at first because the park wasn't super well lit. So we kept walking past the park, but we felt this overwhelming fear when we saw her without any cause. But as we were walking, still looking at her, she turned her head and stopped singing. As I recollect, she was singing Ring Around the Rosie. We were walking a bit faster at that point, but I felt drawn to her. Even though I had this overwhelming fear, I also felt like I should go to her. But I fought that, and I kept walking. She then stood up from the swing and started walking. When she walked out toward the street, which we were on the other side of, she went under the streetlight. It was then that I saw it. I made clear eye contact with her, and her eyes were pitch black. She then started to run towards us, which only my friend noticed because I was caught up looking at her eyes. My friend grabbed my arm, pulled me, and yelled, "Book it!" We started running as fast as we could down the street. As soon as we got to my porch and my mom came outside, we turned around, and she was just gone. After that, I had sleep paralysis of her standing in my room, staring at me with her dark, dark eyes. I had a dream about her, and I always felt some sort of presence around me, but I never actually saw her out there again. But anytime I'm outside at night, I always feel an extremely strong fear of seeing her again. This is common with black-eyed kids. The people that see these black-eyed kids feel fear without even seeing the black eyes at first. But they also have a feeling of, I need to go toward this child or this person. This particular person overwhelmed that fear and, thanks to her friend, booked it out of there. And I remember I had an encounter from a listener way back that was on the beach where we were just a couple weeks earlier in Grand Haven, where they were walking along the beach, and it was Grand Haven Beach in Michigan is ridiculously busy. But as you walk and walk and walk down the beach, and if I remember correctly, they were about a mile down the beach, and there was really nobody there at that point. But they came across a young child sitting on a log crying, and the girl had an overwhelming fear, or overwhelming fear, I should say, but she wanted to help the young child, so she put her hand on that child's shoulder, and without looking up, she could hear the child say, "Can you please help me? I can't find my mom. Can you please help me?" It wouldn't look up at her, and she knelt down, and at that point, this child made eye contact with her, and she saw he had dead black eyes. And she felt an overwhelming fear that overtook her, and her boyfriend saw it and grabbed her, and they literally ran the mile back to the populated area of the beach where the main parking lot is in Grand Haven, Michigan. Well, all during their mile run back to the beach, they kept looking back, and this child would seem to be along the banks following them, but it would they'd look back, it wasn't there, they'd look a little bit forward, there it is. They got to the car, and there was the child in the parking lot. They got home, and she was petrified. She couldn't even look out the window. And to this day, I heard from her literally about 6 months ago. She still has eerie feelings going on that beach. She has no idea what a black-eyed kid is, but she is terrified of them. And every one of, most everybody, I should say, that encounters a black-eyed kid or a black-eyed person, they have an overwhelming fear of being around them, but yet they have an overwhelming feeling of wanting to help them. And a lot of people say it's almost demonic, or it's a subliminal message that these people or these kids are exuberating from their bodies and from their minds that is drawing these people in. So I think that's what this person here was going through, because she just couldn't take her eyes off of her. But then as they got home, they turned around and she was gone, kind of like the Grand Haven incident. So the next one is, I was with a few of my friends. We drove down an alley to get to the parking garage. When we got there, standing in the center of the alley was an old lady with white hair wearing old-fashioned clothes. Even from a distance, I could see that she was staring at me. As we got closer, I noticed her eyes were completely black. I started shaking, and I really didn't believe what I was seeing. I really thought that I was fabricating it in my mind, because I have read about these things previously. So I asked my friend in a shaky voice, does that lady have black eyes? And he looked at her, and he said, "Dude, what the F, man?" And his voice instantly became shaky. We just turned around and went into another entrance to the parking garage. When we walked by the alley again about a minute later, she was standing in the same spot. Every moment she was in sight, she was staring into my eyes. It was extremely unsettling, but nothing came of it. My friend wasn't just messing with me. We both saw her piercing black eyes. I am so glad I didn't have to talk to her. I was shaky enough as it was. She looked to be around 70 years old. It was really an odd experience. And this is another characteristic of a black-eyed person sighting, or encounter, I should say, is you're just drawn to that person and you have an overwhelming fear, but sometimes these black-eyed people just stare at you and you have an overwhelming fear without really knowing why. And then you see those black eyes, and it's unnerving. From every account I've ever read, every account I've ever had from listeners of the show, it's almost as if you're drawn to staring at them. And they may be staring at you, or they may be having their heads down. There's really no in-between. They're not interacting with people like you and I would interact with. They're either just staring at you and making you feel very very nervous, just like this person here, or they're hanging their head down, not trying to show their face, not trying to show their eyes. And when they look up at you, you just get this fear upon you. And the second story, this person or this old lady thing would just constantly stare at them. And it knew where they were, because as they left and came back and passed the alley again, it was still there staring at them. It's a common characteristic of a black-eyed person encounter. The last one is, I wanted to share a story my dad had been telling my family for a long time. It took place about 15 years ago, which is around 2004. We used to live in Mexico, more specifically in Mexicali, Baja California, in an urban area. This story is a little bit different since he saw a woman instead of a child, but it still counts, right? So, one afternoon, my father was doing the usual when he heard some knocking on the door. He quickly answered and was met with a Caucasian woman who was a bit on the chubby side, wearing some really old clothes that looked handmade and clearly were not from this time period. She was looking down at her feet. She told him, "Me de agua, señor," which means, "Can you give me water, mister?" To which my father replied, "Ahí está la manguera," which means, "There is a water house." But the woman insisted on coming in. My father told her no, but she looked at him straight in the eye, and that's when my dad saw it. Her eyes were completely black. She walked to the side of the house and proceeded to defecate on the sidewalk. My father lost track of her after that, and the next thing that happened was a bit weird. From that day onward, for about a month, an owl would constantly fly and stand on the same place where she defecated. My father isn't usually a superstitious fella. Even though it may sound a little bizarre, he has always told the same story. Black-eyed people, black-eyed kids, whatever you want to call them, if they come to your house, the one thing that they want to do is get into your house. I remember in the old version of the Paranormal Patriot, I had a black-eyed kid encounter where the people actually let these black-eyed kids into their house. And they started feeling sick, and they finally ushered them out of the house. But after that, the husband was constantly sick and developed cancer. And the woman was constantly sick and couldn't get over her nauseousness. It was only after a long amount of time that they started feeling better, but they attributed it to the fact that they let these black-eyed kids into their house. And if a black-eyed person, a black-eyed kid, comes to your house, do not let them in. Every instance where someone has interacted with a black-eyed kid, it has not gone well. Now the question remains, what are these black-eyed kids? Some people say they're demonic. Some people say they're alien. Either way, everybody that encounters a black-eyed kid, a black-eyed person, every single one of them does not have a good feeling about it. Everybody has fear revolving around them. I will never forget the long story from a teacher that went up to the lower peninsula, the northern part of the lower peninsula, in an area that I have camped at numerous times, the Platte River. We have tubed down that river. We have been on that beach. I know exactly where that gentleman encountered his black-eyed kid encounter. And he went to a rustic campsite and was hunted, and he was literally terrified because these black-eyed kids would follow him. He saw them coming out of the bathroom at the beach house and just had an awful, awful feeling when he encountered them, but went to his campsite anyway. And as he went to his campsite that night, he kept hearing people or things walking around his campground.
And the next morning, saw footprints. And the next day, went for a hike and started seeing these same black-eyed kids following him. And he was terrified because he saw the black eyes. He knew they weren't normal. And as he ran from these black-eyed kids, they just always seemed to be right there with him. And this guy said he was in great shape. He could run a long way, but these kids were always, every time he looked, they were right there. And he went back to his car, and he didn't know what to do. He was ready to leave his tent, his campsite behind, and just go home. And he decided, I'm going to go back. And that night, it began to storm, and he kept hearing people or things walking around his campground, and he just got up and ran. And as he was running down the beach in the middle of the night with the storm raging around him, he kept seeing these black-eyed kids right along the shoreline, right along the wood line, everywhere he was. And he just got in his car, left his campground, and left, and has never been camping again. This is what a black-eyed encounter, black-eyed kid, black-eyed person encounter entails. The biggest thing is it entails fear. Everybody who's ever encountered a black-eyed kid, a black-eyed person, has felt fear. They haven't felt good. They haven't felt joy. They haven't felt comfortable. Everybody has been very uncomfortable. Everybody has felt fear when encountering them. If you ever encounter a black-eyed kid, just get out. As much as your body and as much as you are telling yourself, let's help this young child or let's help this person, get out. I'm a firm believer that black-eyed kids exist. I have no idea what they are. I honestly don't. But there's too many people that have seen them. And now, as I say, in the 90s, we were seeing black-eyed kids. Now we're starting to see black-eyed kids, black-eyed adults, black-eyed elderly. Have these black-eyed kids continued to grow and get older and older and older? Or are they demonic? Are they alien? Are they from another dimension? Who knows? But whatever it is, nobody that's encountered them has felt good. Let me know what you think. Have you had an encounter with a black-eyed kid? Have you heard of an encounter with a black-eyed kid? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So that'll be the show this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned everything. I know I got really deep in that first segment about the time travel parallel universe, but I really, truly want to hear your thoughts. Would you swap with another you in another universe that was more successful, more handsome, more beautiful, that had no worries in the world, but it meant leaving your family, your friends, your children, your life in this universe behind? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. I'll be honest with you, the next month is going to be hit and miss. I will do whatever I can to get a show going. I can't guarantee I will have a show in any given week up until October. Actually, it'll be November. October 26th is our family's huge Halloween party, and it is full-blown time to get ready for it. So I don't know if I'm going to be available because weekends are the time I get ready for it. So if you don't get a show, I'm sorry. I will let you know ahead of time. I will do everything I can to post a show. I do have obligations to the radio station I'm on, and I will do everything I can, but I'm not going to beat myself up to do it. So thank you for listening this week. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net, with any comments, concerns, any encounters, any questions, anything you want to talk about. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Jared, you learned what the Paranormal Patriot listeners can do for you. That can happen for anybody listening. Thank you for listening this week. My name is Tom Velasquez, taking off the tinfoil hat. I will be back. We will talk to you later.
You always said we'd be together, never be apart. Now you're just a liar, cause you played me from the start. I loved you more than anyone, profess my love is true. You betrayed my love and heart, that was just always meant for you. There will come a time and day where you will stop and see. You missed out on the only one that made your life complete. Now I've gotta move.